Good morning, everybody. As we were worshiping, I just saw Jesus' face. I saw it clearly, and He smiled at us. And I just experienced Him saying that He just loves us so much, and His love is enough for us. We don't need anybody else actually to love us to feel happy. We have Jesus that loves us, and His love is more than enough for us to be happy as people. I just saw His face, and He was so content and just smiling at us this morning.
Oh, Father, we just want to thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness and Your mercy, Lord. God, thank You for Your love, God. And God, we surrender this morning again, Lord, our lives to You. And God, we declare that You have first loved us, God. And Lord, we thank You for the cross. Lord, thank You that You have died on the cross and that You paid the price for our sins, for our iniquities, God, for all transgressions, all abominations, Lord. But God, thank You that we can know that You did not die like the other gods, Lord. 3 days later, You got risen from the dead because the Spirit of God raised You from the dead. You overcame death, Lord. You overcame sin for us, for our behalf, Lord. And 40 days later, You ascended into heaven and You're sitting at the right hand of the Father. And thank You, God, that we can have an expectation, Lord Jesus, that You are coming back for the bride of Christ. You're coming to fetch us, Lord. And we are excited, Lord, for Your return. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, Lord. That what we do on this earth, God, we understand it will determine how we're going to spend eternity, Lord. And the time that we are here is a fraction of the time that will be in eternity, because eternity is infinite, it's forever. So we have this small opportunity to make a difference here before we go into eternal life, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that we will be eternally focused, God, that we'll be kingdom focused, that we'll not be worldly focused, God, that we won't get so busy with the things of the world that we never get time to come into Your presence, that we never come to the place where we live our lives for You, where we're seeking You and Your kingdom and its righteousness, that we're not living a life to bring glory to You, Lord God, we are not known as Your disciples because of the fruit that we bear, Lord. But God, I pray that You'll do a work in us, God, that what we do here will bring glory to Your name, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank You for every person who is here. And I thank You, God, for the work that You started in us, Lord. And God, thank You that You will finish this thing, Lord. And thank You that You are just saying to us this morning that You are well pleased with us. In Jesus' name, and I thank You for Your goodness, Lord. Thank You that we can know that You are a good God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, for me, I just know when we come together in unity, there's protection for everybody. So we have been talking and praying, and I didn't want to do anything quickly because I wanted to know the people who are there, their hearts must be for the kingdom, for God, and for me as well. Because if their hearts are not for me, then there will always be this unity. Mark always said to me, if there's two visions, it will bring division. So if your heart is over there and my heart is over there, there will be different visions between the two of us, and it will bring division. So we asked a few guys. Some guys said, no, they're not ready. Some people said they are ready. So we came together, and we started coming together as men, as the women together, and then as a bigger group together. And then we went away for a weekend as well, first with the staff. Me and Lynette and Kurt and Magli and Gerard and Christina came with us. And we just spent time with one another, getting to know one another. Lynette was also quite sick, so we almost thought we were not going to go because someone, thank you very much, I'm not sure who it was, but they blessed us with a holiday, so we sort of prepared the two together as well. That was very good. I'm not rested at all because I was running after my children. There was trampolines and putt-putt and little boats that you can ride on. So I was running around like you can't believe, but it was great for us as a family. Anyway, the Wednesday we were meant to leave, so we left only Thursday morning. And we came together and we prayed and we talked. And the morning I went for a run And I ask God, what must I do today? Because I'm a palm tree. I wing it. I just don't plan too much. Before that time, so I was hoping that God would show me what to do. And then I saw this mountain, and I knew we had to go out on this mountain. So I got everyone to get into my bucky. It's a 4x4, and I've got low range, and I've got new tires on it. So I thought, Lynette, me, the two children, Kurt, Machli, their little daughter, Isabella, Gerard, and Christina, all in the bucky. And we go up this mountain. And as we drive up, I'm very confident we can handle it. But the dongas, I wasn't so confident in, because the next moment we're doing this. And Gerard, he weighs 130 kilograms. He's also sitting on this side. So we're doing this. And I'm saying, Gerard, you must get out now. I'm talking through. He's sitting in the back. And he's like, ha, 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 and he's doing this. And Lynette is starting to freak out, because even in our group, we could experience there was not unity amongst one another. It's like they got along well with me, but with one another, they didn't get along that well, as I would have hoped, as I've been asking the Lord to. And then we got out, but now we're up like this, and we are doing that. So now it's doing vroom, 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 vroom. And eventually I'm through the bushes, up and down, and Lynette is trying to give me directions, and Gerard, the 130 kilogram, 6'5" or something tall guy, he's like, let me speak now. And then she wants to say something, he says, let me speak. And now Gerard is speaking. He doesn't have any shoes on, but he's removing huge rocks, and he's in his element, and it was fantastic. And eventually we came down, because if I started rolling, I would have rolled quite a far distance, about 2 kilometers, and there wouldn't have been much left of my head and even my bucky as well. So we got out of there. Eventually everyone got in, and I went for a sleep, and I thought up there we're going to have this quiet moment with the Lord, and the Lord is going to speak to us. And I thought, gee, I missed it completely. Then God spoke very clearly to me, and he said, sometimes Gerard will speak and sometimes Lynette will speak, but we all have to learn which is our role in the group. And we did the tall trees thing. We knew what my wife is, a lolly tree, so we all laughed at her. And all the things that upsets me is the things that drives my wife, and vice versa. So we need much grace in that area. But it was great for us to talk about that. And then that Friday night, the district leaders came up. The district leaders came to, some of them couldn't make it, but we came together, we prayed, or we just fellowshiped together. And then I was hoping as well that night we could just worship together, but it didn't work out that way. So I said 9 o'clock the next morning. So we came together, we stood up, we had breakfast, 9 o'clock we started, my wife's, and then at that moment she just had to go again, and I'm like, leave. You know, and it's just the thing that we learned out, that is her strength and this is my weakness. Now I've got to have grace and all of that. We come back, we start worshiping, we started singing, and then next moment God starts speaking to us, and we stand up, and I'm saying, okay, we know we have to pray, lay hands on one another. And I said, Baron has been prayed for by Fred and the A-team and Kurt and me. So we said we are going to pray for everyone else. So I pray for Lynette and she cries. And husbands, you probably know what it's like when your wife cries. And you're like, oh, Leafy, you know, God is touching you. And then the next lady comes forward and she starts crying. But it's like God opens my spirit and I can go into her heart. And I know exactly everything that has happened with her. And when I give it to her, she's like crying. And I'm realizing now I've got to be a father to this. And this person that I really admire and look up to. And then she's crying and her husband is crying and I'm crying. And then the next person comes and they come and God shows me. It's like almost I climb into this person again and it's God speaking to us and she's crying. She's repenting. And this one guy's looking at me and he's like, why are you crying? And then it's his turn and he's weeping. And then his wife is weeping and I'm weeping. And so all of us had a chance. And it's just funny how the guys come forward and you have one word and that person weeps. Now I'm weeping. By the end of it, we were all restored, but we felt the power of God. We felt the presence of God. So I'm excited. I'm seeing that God is doing something supernatural. I'm feeling the contention as well. There is contention, but I know that God has called us here and that God has called us to overcome because of who God is. The word that I want to share with you, I've called it burning lambs. And Thursday night? Daniel, he was upset and he was seeing monsters in the house. And I prayed with him. Eventually, he slept in our bed. Now, I had a very tough week. the whole week I was running after my kids and doing trampolines and all of those things. I didn't sleep much. And 7 o'clock, they are already ready to go out there playing putt-putt. Christian, the smaller one, called it rugby in the beginning. But he was playing it like hockey, putt-putt. So it was a challenge to get him under control that he won't upset the other people. But we're coming home. We had Foundations 3, Bible school, 2 sessions. Foundations 3 was Friday and Saturday and Wednesday, many meetings. Tony, that passed away, we went to go and pray for him as well, me and Dr. Malik. And then I just had to prepare for the message this morning. But through all of that, I'm just sensing that, there's darkness, but that God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness. And the more we focus on the goodness of God and who God is, the darkness must flee. You know, we get sometimes so thrown by what the devil could be doing, but the devil actually gets thrown by what God is doing. And we must learn to focus on the goodness of God. 1 John 1 says, this is the message we have heard from Him, and we proclaim that to you, that God is light. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. So I just believe that for us, this whole message of worship, of praise, that we come and focus on the goodness of God. We praise Him. We worship Him because God is light. And in Him there is no darkness. And it doesn't matter where you are, where you come from. The darkness must flee when God is there. Because God is light. And there is no darkness in Him at all. But if we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So I just see from this that God is light, and He wants us to be light, to be the light of this world. Matthew 5 says, we are the light of the world. Matthew 5 verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let our light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we are called to be light. If we are light, we can't hide away. We can't go and sit in our room and shy away, because the light of Christ is in us, and the world will see that we are light. There can't be darkness in us because of what God has done in us. There's something in us that will shine, and the world will know that God's light is in us. And people will see good works, not because we're trying to do it. It's an outflow of who God is in us. And this will bring glory to who God is. The whole message that God is speaking to me about the Holy Spirit and fire. And I heard Anton came and he preached on the Holy Spirit and fire here as well. And just all the themes of fire is coming to mind. When God appeared to Moses, he was in a burning bush that didn't stop burning. Elijah that called fire onto that altar and it destroyed everything. So there's so many. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, the flames of fire that came on all the people. So God is really dealing with me with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I was looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. And there's 10 of them. They are all waiting for the bridegroom to return. They all have lamps. 5 is foolish. 5 is wise. The difference is the foolish ones have no oil. The wise ones brought flasks of oil. They all fall asleep. They get drowsy and they fall asleep. And then there's a cry. And they all wake up and they trim their lamps and they prepare their lamps. But the ones without the oil realize they don't have oil. And they say to the wise ones, we don't have oil. Can we have some of your oil? And they say, but we don't have enough oil for you and for us. You better go and buy your own oil. And while they're going to get their own oil, the bridegroom comes. And the wise ones go in with Jesus into the supper and they close the door. The ones without the oil come and they knock on the door, say, Lord, Lord, open for us. And God says, I didn't know you. And it says, watch, for we do not know the hour that God is coming back. And when you read this parable, it's like, what does it mean? What does it mean? Because the kingdom of God, in verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. the kingdom of God, 10 virgins. I believe the virgins represent the church. It's pure, it's holy. They have lambs. They all want to meet the bridegroom. They all have a heart, a desire to see Jesus come. All of them. There's not the one is wicked and the one is not wicked, but all have a desire to see Jesus. But there's one difference. And when we look at, when we say the 10 virgins, the church, Greek word, ecclesia, it's a calling out. It's an assembly. It's where people come together in a group. And there's many opinions about church. If you just go to eSalt and you just type in church or churches, you just see how many times that word is, I think it's 100 and something times, I can't remember, or 200, I can't remember, I counted, but I can't remember the exact amount. But I believe God has chosen the church as His vehicle to represent Him on this earth. And that when we come together, yes, there are many denominations, there are very ways, but that for me, there is a thing where we come together as the church, when we come together as a local church, where we care for one another, where we love one another, where the world will know we are His disciples because of the love that we have for one another, that this is family, that God has called the church to come together as family, that this is kingdom of God is exactly that. It's people coming together to bring glory, to praise, to worship God, who God is. So the 10 virgins, I believe, represents the church. They all have lambs, and they all want to meet the bridegroom. And I was just talking about what could the lambs be. Proverbs 20 says, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the lamb of the Lord, searching all its innermost. So our spirit in us is a lamb to the Lord. I believe that God has called us to be born again. When we get born again, there's an experience where the spirit of God comes in us and we get born again. In John 3, Jesus says, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Which is born flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. So I really believe that there's something that God is speaking to us about being born in the spirit of God, which is different than receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. That when we are born again, that there's an experience where God's spirit comes and we get born again by the spirit of God. In John 3, it says that you can see the wind blowing, but you can't see the wind. But you know that the wind is blowing because of the leaves that are moving. So are you who are born by the Spirit of God. That the Bible says our spirit identifies with the Spirit of God, that we are children of God. That there's something about the Holy Spirit that happens in us that is different in the inside than what we can see for everyone else. John 6 verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. So it is the Spirit of God that gives life. Then, so what I'm seeing is the lamp could be the person, and that the oil could be the Spirit of God in that person. When you get born again and your spirit gets reborn, that is the oil that is within you. But Psalm 119 verse 105 says, the word is a lamp to your feet and a light to my path. So the word, God's word, the Bible, is also a lamp unto our feet. But then Jesus, in John 1, it says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and all things that was made. And it's talking about Jesus, that Jesus is also the word. So I believe for us that we are those lamps, and that as we become and become doers of the word, this is the lamp. But we cannot do this if it's not inspired by the Spirit of God. Because when you light that lamp, it will burn. But until that little toki is burnt out, then it's out. But if there's oil, it will continue burning. And it burns, and it burns, and it burns. Because God is an all-consuming fire. That bush, it doesn't burn out. And it doesn't matter how tired I am today, that I'm saying, God, I know your grace is sufficient for me, because when I'm weak, you are strong. And this is where I'm trusting God's Spirit to come and to speak through me. Because in my own strength, I tell you I can't. But it's the Spirit of God that strengthens us, that anoints us to speak the words of God. Even the Proverbs 31 lady, Proverbs 31 verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. That wise lady that we always pray over people, that you are a Proverbs 31 lady, woman, her lamp doesn't burn out because her lamp is filled with the oil of God. Matthew 25 verse 2 says, five of them were foolish and five were wise. All 10 are pure. All 10 are waiting for Jesus. Five of them are foolish. Five of them are wise. The foolish, what could it mean? It could be that they are hypocrites, that they are doing the things by works. They think they can achieve salvation by the good works that they do. It can be that they are not born by the Spirit of God. They've maybe grown up in a Christian home but never came to a place where they have been born again, where God's Spirit came and revived their spirit, where there's passion, hunger for Jesus, that they have a form of godliness but then deny the power of God, that they are religious, that they do everything on the outside but inside there's nothing, there's no oil, there's no burning inside of them. And the wise ones could be the righteous. They walk by faith. They are saved by grace. They understand that we walk this life by faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of that. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. We cannot work for our salvation. It's a free gift of God that God has given to us. And I think this is where Annie's helping me quite a lot as well to understand that many people, when we talk about sin, they go like, and they feel condemned. Oh, but I'm a sinner and I've got to stop sinning and I've got to work through my sins. But God says when you gave your heart to the Lord, when you became born again, you've been declared justified. God said you are sinless. Now, why is there still sin in your life like mine? It's sanctification. God is busy with a process of making us holy. And it takes sometimes, in my case, longer than in some other people's case. But it's a lifelong process. And at the end, it says that we will stand. We must focus because we're surrounded by these saints. And it's a race of endurance where we come before God. It's a long race. We can start it quickly, but we can burn out, I believe, if there's not oil in our lamps. If we're not doing it because we're in step with the Spirit of God. If we're trying to do it out of our own strength in works. Someone said to me once, it was a prophecy he gave to me, and he said to me, Theo, you are, I think it's for all of us, but it could be for you, but it was exactly for me. He says, I'm like a geyser, and I want to give hot water, but I can't give hot water if there's not an inflow of water, because I will burn out. And so are we. We will burn out if we are not filled with fresh water continuously. If the water is cut, our geysers will burn out. We will burn out. And this is just a place where I believe we get filled by God's Spirit when we spend time with Him, when we read the Word, when we pray, when we praise, when we worship, when we come and have fellowship with one another, when people pray over you and you weep because you know you've been touched by God, or even in your own quiet time, you just spend time with God. And I'm loving it at Tiff Burger at the moment. When I listen to him, I sing with him. Last night I had to go and fetch my iPad at the office, and it's quite scary to go in there at like 10 o'clock at night, and I just worshipped him. If you must hear me, it must probably be terrible to hear, but God, I believe it's beautiful when I worship to him, because it is unto the Lord. So we must understand that living by faith is that we put our trust in God, that we don't trust in the worldly things. Jeremiah 17 says, you are cursed if you put your trust in man. You'll be like a bush, a dead bush that is blown through the desert. But blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord, and he will be like a tree planted by the waters. And what I believe what we're doing sometimes is we're putting our trust in people, and we believe, yes, if Anton is just going to pray for me, things will get better. But it's not the truth. The truth is that when we put our trust in God, then things will get better. But we so tend to look at people, and this is why I believe we're struggling. We trust in our salary more than what we're trusting in God. We're trusting in the doctors. Sorry, Donna. We must go to our doctors, but we must pray first. We go to our doctors, but we pray first. We must put our trust in God first before we trust in any person out there. It's a lifestyle of living by faith, and not by the works that we do before God. And I believe that is what the difference could be. We can, on the outside, look exactly the same. But on the inside, some will have oil and some will have no oil. Annelise, when we prayed together, she saw a picture and she just said she believes God wants to give us a room full of a whole place full of oil. Just bring oil. And she saw that picture and she just shared it with me this morning. So I really believe the difference is no oil or flasks of oil. That the Christian appearance, the lamb on the outside will look exactly the same. You can even light that lamp and it will be burning, but it will only burn until a certain time. Then it gets burned out. It's only when there's oil that it won't burn out, because the oil causes it to continue burning all the time. And the more there's oil, the more the lamp will continue to burn. Then verse 5 in Matthew says, as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. All of them slept. They all became drowsy. They all became tired. But then at midnight, there's a cry. And Mac Adami, last week, he preached here. And he screamed on our mic, wake up! I'm not going to do it. I almost thought our speakers was going to come down. And then he apologized very gently because he screamed at us. But I think my eardrum burst. But it's almost like that. There's a cry. Wake up. Wake up. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And this is like a decisive change. This change, it's an awakening that something is happening. There's a ceremony that's about to take place. And I believe this is the time where it's wake up. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. In other words, they no more sleeping, no more waiting, no more silence. They're getting up. Now it's personal preparation. They're starting to get themselves ready because the bridegroom is coming. And verse 8 says, the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. There's nothing there. Now they go and they trust in other people to give them oil that they don't have. But there's no oil. And the wise virgin says to them, look, we don't have any. And Donnie caught an intercession on Friday morning and then this morning. This shared this again, but the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the oil. We can try and do the righteousness thing. We can try and do the peace thing. We can try and be the joy of the Lord is my strength, and we can say it to ourselves all the time, but it won't work. It will work for a little while, but then it will burn out, because it will only sustain when it's in the Holy Spirit, when it's because of the Spirit of God that is within us. They were saying, we don't have enough. But the wise said, go to the dealers and buy some for yourself. I believe the currency to buy the oil is faith. It's faith. There's nothing that you can do to get the oil. You must ask for it. Each person must ask for it for himself. I cannot give it to you. You can ask me, I can't give it to you. That person next to you, Joel, can't give it to you. It's only God that can give it to us. And we must go to him and we must buy it from him. But we buy it by faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith is a gift. Faith is something that God gives us. He's all given us a measure of faith. When we believe, we have faith. But our faith grows and it increases as we put our trust more and more in God. We grow and we're seeking God. We're wanting to know more of who God is. We're asking him for the Holy Spirit because he will give it to us. He says, I will give you my Spirit. In John 14 verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Then 1 John 4 says, by this we know that Jesus abides in us and we abide in him, because he's given us his Spirit. Because of God's Spirit in us, and our spirit identifies with the Spirit of God, that we are children of God. There's a desire to do the things of God. That scripture says that we will be compelled by the love of Christ to lay down our lives. And Jesus says, for as many as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. He says, but Lord, I've not visited anyone in prisons. I've not given money to the poor. I've not helped the orphans and the widows. But he said, as you have done it for them, you have done it for me. So there's an outflow of wanting to do the things of God. That is because God's Spirit is in us. Not because we have to do it. Want ons salleiers sê, ons moet nou gaan uitreik. Nou gaan ons maar uitreik. And there's an excitement, a desire. If you are empty and you don't want to read the word anymore, you don't want to pray anymore, you don't want to come into worship before God, and you're excited to come into worship, it's possible that our oil is running out and we need to go and purchase oil that only God can give to us. Verse 10 said, and they were going to buy, and then the bridegroom came, And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And then verse 11 says, and the other virgins came, and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, truly, I do not know you. And Matthew 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. The same theme, Lord, Lord, I've known you, Lord, but he says, I didn't know you. But it's the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And I believe this is why the word of God is so important, that we can learn what the will of God is, that we become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And if we're struggling with it, we ask God, Holy Spirit, give me strength. I pray for your spirit because I want this. But you can only get this by asking God. You can't come to any person to give it to you. Verse 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And, you know, I don't believe one can be a believer or a Christian, spirit-filled of God, and be lethargic in life. I don't think we can be like that. I don't think so. I think if God's spirit is in you, there's a desire to want to become more like Jesus. Because of his spirit enables us, of what God's spirit is doing in us. There's a desire to be counted for in the kingdom of God. To know that God, it's about what is in your heart, Lord. That your heart cries for what the Lord's heart cries for. That we become new people in Christ. The old has gone, but the new has come. And if you've been saved when you were 5 years old, that you understand that without Jesus, you are nothing. And we live a lifestyle that is dependent on who Christ is. And we get so busy with the things of the world. I believe we are known by his disciples because of the fruit that we have. If there's bitterness in our hearts and there's unforgiveness and there's a critical spirit and there's all these things, it's just signs of the world that has entered into our hearts. If we become so busy for our neighbors and so busy in this world because we are so busy with the things of the world, I believe the lamp doesn't have the oil. And I believe it's time for us to go back to the Lord. Say, God, give me your first love again. There are so many people that I've known that were so on fire for the Lord. And then the children come. And now they fade away. And they're not seeking God anymore. They're not excited about who God is anymore. They don't really care about if people go to heaven or not. They've grown cold. They lost their first love. And this is where I believe maybe it's because the oil has run out. And this is for me. I'm in a place as well. God, I'm seeking your spirit, Lord. I need your oil. Because the last verse, we must be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I don't believe we can burn out in Christ. If we're in the will of God, I don't believe we can burn out. I believe this is a walk that God is part of the sanctification process. That we are being sanctified in him. When we get hurt and offended, it's part of that process because God wants us to get rid of the me in me, that we can live for the God in us, that we can live by love for Christ. Love for one another will flow out of our love for God. Out of that place will come. And then, you know, just Peter's life, even he didn't love Jesus like he was supposed to. Yet God still used him. And he poured out his spirit upon Peter. And Peter was the one that came and preached that first sermon where 3,000 people got saved. Because the spirit of God enabled him to go. So this morning my message is, there's a kingdom of God. We don't have new people in our church. So we all, I believe, the virgins, we're poor. We've been blood washed. We've given our heart to the Lord. But some of us are wise and some of us are foolish. The difference is some of us have flasks of oil and some of us have no oil and we're burning out. And I believe the cry is coming and my call to you today is turn to God. Turn to him, say, God, I need your Holy Spirit. I can't live this life anymore because I know you're coming back. And when you come back, I don't want to stand in front of a closed door saying, Lord, Lord, I want to be inside where the marriage feast is. And it's all faith. It's not, we cannot work this thing. We cannot do stuff to attain this. It's faith. It's believing. It's seeking. It's knowing the beautiful Jesus. Amen. Can we just pray? Oh, Father God, I just pray, Lord, that whoever here, Lord God, needs, Lord God, to respond to your call, that your spirit will work in them, Lord. That you will reveal to them, Lord. Reveal to us, God. reveal to me if we have oil or if there's no oil, Lord. Because none of us who are sitting here, we're all expecting, Lord, you to come back. We're all expecting you, Lord. And I'm just wondering, am I one of the wise ones or am I one of the foolish ones, Lord? But God, we're asking you this morning for the oil that continue burning in us. This is burning to know and have relationship with you, Jesus. To be in relationship with you by the Spirit of God. God, we pray, Lord, that you give us a desire for you, for the things of God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you want to respond, if you want to come forward that we can pray with you to anything that I've said, not only the oil or no oil, if you have a need and you feel you need to respond, I want to invite you to come forward now. We're just going to sing a song unto the Lord. And I want to encourage you to really engage and ask God, God, I want to know you in spirit and in truth. Because God is spirit and he says true worshippers will worship me in spirit and in truth. That our spirit connects with the Spirit of God, that we know we are his children. That God is really speaking to us about the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And the fact is that some, and Anita prophesied it as well, some will stand out like a sore thumb because they've not prepared themselves. And I really believe this is the time, this is the call for all of us. For me more than for you, to stop preparing ourselves because Jesus is coming back. He's coming soon. And you might feel darkness increasing because they know that he's coming soon. Because they know the final judgment will come. But for us, it's good news. That is the good news, that he's coming soon. Once we're done, the children are going to release balloons with scriptures on it to the Lord. Now, we just want to ask you to go and support them. It would be nice if all of you can go out and just go and cheer them as all these balloons go into the air. I think it's about 80 or 100 of them that they're going to release. Each child is going to have one. It's just the promises of God that's being released for them, for us, for the church, for the community. We're trusting God to do a work. I believe God has not only called us to be a few here in church, but he has called us to change the kingdom of God, to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. The whole world must know who Jesus is. He has called us. This is the kingdom of God will come through our lives because we are burning with the oil of God in the name of Jesus. I just believe people must respond. You're resisting what God is wanting to do in your life. And you know you have no oil, but you're resisting it. And I want to ask you, does it concern you? Because it concerns me. If you're resisting God, and he says, I'm going to come and you're going to ask, Lord, Lord. And I did not know you. But when you have the opportunity to get the oil, you're resisting. It's like, no, I don't want to be embarrassed by people. But God is saying, rather be embarrassed by people than being embarrassed because you're standing before an empty door. I really believe, like Tony, he's 35 years old. We don't know when it will be the end. If you must respond, just respond to God. Respond to God. Don't respond to people. Don't respond to what people are saying. But respond to what God is saying into your heart. Don't harden your heart to the Lord. But ask him. He says that God wants to take a heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. That he will pour out his spirit upon us. And he will be our father and we will be his children. But God pours out his spirit upon us and he takes the heart of stone and he gives us a heart of flesh that we can live lives that will bring glory to God. If you feel condemnation, yes, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but maybe there is a time to return back to Christ Jesus that you will not walk in condemnation. Maybe there's just one person and I just sense there's someone resisting. You know you must come forward, but you're almost like, wat gaan die mense sê? And I just want to say, don't care about people. Rather care about who God is. Don't worry about what people can do to you. Rather worry what the God that created the heavens and earth can do to us.